I don't think it's too much of a stretch to suggest that as we think about this subject this morning of blessing your community, that the church has often had a very ambiguous sort of response to the community at large. There's been a whole variation of responses that churches often have to the community. One of those is just apathy. Hey, you know, that's out there. We got our own stuff in here. We Jesus and us have got a good thing going. We're just going to keep on keeping on and just hang on till Jesus comes back. You know, and whatever happens in the community has nothing to do with us. Or there's, at the other, I guess kind of related, but a little bit different, is there's been almost animosity towards the community. You know, we look at the community and think, look what those pagans are doing now. We need to get out there and get in their faces and tell them God's truth and let them know, you know, that God really doesn't like this. And you've known ones like that. There have also been those who just completely identify with the community. I remember one particular leader that I talked with when we were living in New Zealand, and he said, well, look, at our church, we look to the community to set the agenda of what's going on here. That, you know, we don't know what we're doing until we look at the community and see what's going on there, and then we'll know what we're going to do. Now, I don't think any of those responses are biblical. As a matter of fact, I think that what we're talking about today, we talk about as the church, as the people of God blessing the community, I think that's really the direction that the Lord would have us go. I don't think that when we talk about blessing the community, it's not just, well, one more blessing that we kind of cooked up as we thought about this whole building, this culture of blessing. I believe that blessing our community is part of what God has called us to do. Being a blessing to our community is part of what God has summoned us as the people of God, as that kingdom of God, embodying that kingdom of God on earth. I think he's called us to bless our community. Now, there might be a number of places, but there's a really good illustration of this in the Old Testament. It comes out of the book of Jeremiah. You know, if you know the book of Jeremiah, and particularly what he was dealing with, Jeremiah is living in a time when part of his ministry happens when the Babylonians have overrun Judah and the nation of Israel. And as part of what they did was that they took all the best, took the nobles, the well-educated, the professionals, all those who were the best, and they picked them up and they transported them to Babylon and left everyone else behind. How interesting it is that Jeremiah was held in such regard that he was one of those left in Jerusalem. He wasn't even considered worth the bother of taking to Babylon. But it's interesting how that those who were in Babylon, really, you know, being the elite that they were, they thought, well, what's going on here? What's this all about? And they were upset. Plus, they got stirred up even more because there were these prophets back in Jerusalem who were saying things like, in 2 years, the Lord's going to break the yoke of Babylon. He's going to overcome Nebuchadnezzar, and you're all going to be brought back. Interestingly, though, Jeremiah said, that's not what God is saying. That's not what he's saying at all. As a matter of fact, the Lord is saying that he sent you to Babylon. You're going to be there a long time, and you need to understand what it means to live in that place. And that kind of helps us get into this text this morning. That's kind of the background. Because as Jeremiah was seeking to communicate this message to the exiles in Babylon, these people who had been carried off, he wrote them a letter. And we read a portion of that letter this morning. It's part of our text from Jeremiah chapter 29. And we read these words. This is Jeremiah's letter. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile. Interesting. from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Now you can appreciate when those in Babylon got that message, it was an astonishing message. It was completely opposite to what so many of their prophets were saying. But yes, this is what the Lord's will was for them. This message was astonishing for a couple of reasons. It's astonishing, first of all, for what it does not encourage. It actually addresses some of those attitudes that we mentioned earlier. When Jeremiah writes this letter, first of all, he's saying to these Jewish people who've been carried to Babylon in exile, he said, there's no call here for imitation. Again, you appreciate what the Babylonians did. They took all the best of a particular culture. They realized that, you know, when you want to subdue a people, if you just go in and just use violence alone and just completely subdue people, you don't really gain any, you don't really win hearts and minds. And then those kind of people who feel oppressed and violated eventually rise up against you. Well, the Babylonians were pretty smart. They took, like I said, all the best. Took the nobles, took the educated, took the professionals, took them into Babylon, and they transplanted them there, and then they showed them all the wonders of the great city of Babylon. How magnificent this city is. All its wealth and riches. And not only that, they gave them positions in these cities. Those of you who read the book of Daniel. Daniel was one of these guys. He had a very high position. Not only that, they also changed their names. Daniel became Belteshazzar. There was also three other guys who became Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, those are guys that were part of this exiled group. Everything was done so that these exiles would just get comfortable, just fit in, just enjoy all that Babylon had to offer. And as they did that, there was also the thing that if you wanted to advance, you did things Babylonian ways. And that had such a powerful impact that after a generation or two, the unique people that had arrived in that land had disappeared. They'd been assimilated totally and became, in essence, Babylonians themselves. When Jeremiah writes, he says, don't disappear. Don't just give in to what you see in front of you. Don't disappear. Build houses, yes. Settle down, yes. Plant gardens. But give your children in marriage and increase in number in that place. Don't lose your identity. Don't lose your identity. Don't let the corrosive acids of the Babylonian culture just work its way on you in such a way that your hope and your trust and your faith in God just disappear in this place. Don't lose your identity in this place. Discover it. Discover that your faith in God is not dependent on perfect circumstances. Discover that your dependency and faith in God is not a matter of being in a certain place that has everything that you would want it to be. That's what exile is. Exile is being in a place you don't want to be, often being with people you don't want to be. But here's God saying to them, don't go into this place and just shrivel up and disappear. Discover how your identity can be formed and shaped and renewed even in this context. So that was the first thing that was surprising about this and astonishing was what it didn't encourage, but that was nothing compared to the other astonishing part of this letter, in that it was amazing, incredible what it does encourage. And God said, in this place, bless Babylon. Bless Babylon. Don't be apathetic. Don't be antagonistic. Bless. Rather than being in total opposition and just fighting this, understand. See, you can imagine how that struck their ears. How that when God said, I led you in this. I'm the one who took you from Jerusalem to Babylon. I'm the one who authored this. That would have been hard enough. But now God is saying, I've used Nebuchadnezzar to create this situation in your life, now I'm going to ask you to bless this place. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you will prosper. Now that, I can't imagine how that must have first struck these people. Pray for Babylon. Pray for guys like Nebuchadnezzar. This guy who's come in and three times already sacked Jerusalem. This guy who's carried off the best and the brightest, ripped them out of their homeland, forcibly put them in this foreign place. This guy who has done so much to undermine their culture. You're telling me now that this guy that has just done so much evil in our life, you want us to bless him and this city? Yes. Yes, I do. Because could it be that you're more than victims in this place? Could it be that the purposes of God are being worked out by taking this people and planting them in the midst of this foreign culture? Could it be, rather than being victims, they could actually be missionaries? They didn't choose this place, yes. But could they not be the people of God in this place? Through their lives, extending the shalom and the peace and the goodness of God even into this place? Could it be that even with all that God sees that's wrong with Babylon, He's not given up on it either? And so He's put His people in the midst of it and calls them to bless, to release the authority, the spiritual authority that causes peace and prosperity to be released in that place, to live in such a way that the goodness of God is expressed through them, that the people would see something of God's nature being expressed in a culture that thought they were totally foreign and against it. Could it be? It was God's call for His people to bless the city and its inhabitants. Now again, when you read something like that, I think this is an illustration of what we seek to do when we include in our book of blessings, blessings for the community. We're trying to emulate the sort of ethos that was being communicated through Jeremiah to the people in Babylon. We want to bless this city. I believe it's part of our calling. Yes, there are many things in this city that we would disagree with. There are many things that we could not in good conscience honor or support. Yes, our faith and values are often dismissed and even sometimes even violated in this space. But we refuse to give up on this city again because God refuses to give up on this city. And if God can cause Israelites to bless Babylon, how much more so can He call us to bless Brisbane? Our call is to live in such a way that we bless our city. To live in such a way, to act in such a way, so as to seek the shalom and the prosperity of this place where God has put us. Now you think about that. Imagine the difference it would make if every Christian in Brisbane saw this as an expression of their obedience to Jesus. That I am to pray and to act in such a way that I bless this city. Imagine what kind of spiritual energy might be released in our midst, in this city, if every one of us saw that as part of the expression of our discipleship before the Lord. Here's the deal, my friends. I believe this is part of Jesus' call to you as a follower of His. Wherever He places you, wherever He's taken you, whether it's a place that you think, oh, yay, God, I finally knocked it for six to be in this place, or whether you've gone into that place kicking and scratching and complaining every step of the way, I believe God's call is to embody the kingdom, to embody the presence of God in that place, and to bring with you the blessing of God, and seek to find ways where you can release that blessing, that peace, that prosperity, all that's embodied with the wholeness that's involved in that word of shalom, how you might begin to express that wherever He's put you. That might take a lot of creativity, a lot of thought, a lot of prayer for a lot of us. But what if that's God's call in your life? Because I believe it is. Wherever He places you in this city, seek the peace and prosperity of your workplace, of your school or university, of your neighborhood, wherever. Live and bless by being one who is in that place, not just for your own personal gain, not just for your own personal reasons. Yes, you have often reasons to be there. It pays the bills, you're being educated, whatever. There are personal reasons, but you're not there just for personal reasons. You're there also to express God's reality into this place where He's placed you. To bring into that place His love, His purposes, His justice, His goodness, and ultimately, His salvation. Now, is that a big challenge? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to take a lot of thinking, a lot of creativity, a lot of prayer to get there. But it's a big challenge. But it can be done. You know, I think, you know, just go ask Glenn and Sarah Biggs about their work in Davao City. Did they not go to seek the peace and prosperity of a foreign place? Now, they had the privilege of being able to choose where they went. But in being in that place, did they not seek the peace and the prosperity of that place? Mentoring young people, teaching, working to create jobs, running camps. You know, all the things. Sarah, you have to talk to Sarah. She can tell you all that they did. That's an example of seeking the peace and the prosperity of a place that's not your own. And we have lots of examples around here. I mean, I'm not going to belabor the point, but there are a lot of examples. There are those of you who work with Kairos, working with those who are in prison, or the partners of those who are in prison. Is that not seeking the peace and prosperity and the goodness of the city? Of Roger and Marie and working with Prison Fellowship. And, you know, there are other examples around here. And I want to bless those things. I want to encourage those things because they're ways that we bless the city. And let me tell you, you can make a difference. We have some friends in New Zealand by the name of Dave and Denise Timms. I hope we can have them here someday. They were part of our church and in New Zealand and eventually went on to work with Urban Neighbors of Hope down in Melbourne for a while. 8 years ago, they felt God called them back to New Zealand to it's a suburb of Auckland, in South Auckland, called Randwick Park. Now, this was not an easy place to be called to. It was such a tough area that in their story, they tell how that the real estate agents kept saying to them, don't buy in this area. This will be terrible for your kids. This is going to be awful. Don't buy here. But they knew the call of God that was on their life. And despite being that tough place, they went still. They went and began to bless. They began to build different connections throughout the community. They, too, did a youth mentoring thing because there was a lot of young people in South Auckland. They worked to revamp a park area that had just kind of gone derelict. They completely transformed it, built a skate park, and all kinds of things. Let me tell you, they've made a difference over these 8 years. As a matter of fact, in December, there was a local media run an article about what's going on there, and this was the headline: Auckland suburb goes from crime ghetto to a taste of heaven. Because two people went in to seek the peace and the prosperity of a tough place. The cherry on the top of all this is that just last month, there's a major competition throughout New Zealand. Randwick Park, where they're at, was named New Zealand's Community of the Year. Can you make a difference? Can God, working through you, through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, as He plants you in a place that you might, and you seek the peace and the prosperity of that place, as you sow blessing, God's blessing into people's lives and into the circumstances there, can it make a difference? You better believe it. You better believe it. And again, all that happened because a couple of Jesus followers decided to bless their community. They weren't overwhelmed in that challenging place. As a matter of fact, they flourished. They're a living example of Jeremiah 29, I believe. Now, there's a lot of stories. You probably know others of similar sorts of things. But don't miss the point. As God's people, we're called to bless. Now, again, God may not call you to something as big as Davao City. He may not call you to a Randwick Park. But He's put you in this city. And the question is, how will you live so as to bless this city? Now, only you can answer that question as you get before God. How will you pray for the city? How will you pray for the situations that you're connected to? How might you, in where God's put you, seek the peace and prosperity of God for that place? How might you do that work where God has placed you at this time? And again, we don't fear the challenge of the city, do we? Now, I hope the answer to that is no, because a lot of churches have. Some of us parents have to repent of this. Some of us parents say, "Oh, we got to protect our children. They're going to get out there and they're going to get contaminated and so forth." Well, I understand the sentiment. I'm a parent. I get it. But do we truly believe that the sovereign Lord is over all creation? That He rules and reigns wherever He sets His people? That God is able to protect and guide and care and provide? Do we truly believe that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the kingdom of God? If we do, we have within us the capacity then to bless the city, to pray for it, and to act in ways that seek its peace and prosperity. Now, again, this is a reason why in our Book of Blessings we include a blessing for the community. But you do realize that blessing is not an end in itself. As we bless, we orient ourselves to God's heart for Brisbane. And as we orient ourselves to God's heart for Brisbane, we feel motivated to be an expression of the blessing God wishes to be in this place. If God cared about the welfare of Babylon, how much more that of Brisbane? If God called His people there to seek the peace and the prosperity of that city, how much more us in ways great and small? Now, just in case someone might think, well, Jeremiah 29 was the Old Testament, but we live in the New Testament, I just quickly point you to a New Testament text that I think echoes Jeremiah 29. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. This is Paul writing to Timothy, instructing, giving instruction about what to say to the churches. He says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, it was a few weeks ago when we started talking about blessing, you know, that it was Bruce Gearing that asked, well, what about Trump? Well, God's response is, whatever you feel about Trump, whether you think, oh, finally, you know, or you think, oh, good grief, whatever your response, the godly response is pray for ones like him. Doesn't matter who, if your party's in power or if your party's in the opposition. Doesn't matter if your person is the premier or the prime minister or not. Pray for those in places of authority. Again, that's how we bless. We're saying by our prayers, we're not just going to throw them out there and just forget them and let whatever powers that might come against them to just have their way with them. Because they will. Because they're in places of authority. Rather, we're going to seek to be a shield and an influence for their lives in the name of the Lord. That's why we pray. And we pray so that they might make the kinds of decisions that will help us to live peaceful and quiet lives in peace and prosperity. And it's interesting how Paul seems to indicate that then that peace, that peaceful, quiet life then becomes a witness that actually creates the environment where many come to salvation. It might almost be worth a try, eh? This is why, too, that we have the blessing for civic leaders in our book. We're not going to leave them to the devil's devices and influence. You know, I think somebody said, and I think it's right, we have the leaders and the quality of civic life that we pray for. Let's conclude with, I think, the best way we can do this, by blessing our area. We've tended to, in the blessing book, we have tended to focus specifically on the western suburbs. But look, you can change this prayer to bless the city wide. But I think we need one to start in our immediate western suburb area. So let's do it. Let's speak out what we've been speaking out on Mondays or on weekdays, either in the morning or in the evening. Let's collectively today, let's stand. And let's bless our area. Let's stand together. And as you speak this out, see yourself, just like you're hovering over the community, and you're taking on the function that God would have you take on as a disciple and bless this area. Let's speak it together, my friends. I bless these western suburbs in the name of Jesus Christ. I bless these suburbs with the peace of the Lord, that all who dwell here may live tranquil and joyful lives. I bless these suburbs with justice and righteousness, that this area might be exalted for its quality of life. I bless the families that live in these suburbs. May the love, peace, and joy of the Lord be experienced in each in ever-increasing measure. I bless the businesses of this area, that the favor of the Lord might cause each to prosper and to provide for many in the community. I bless the schools in these suburbs, that they might develop young people who mature into the fullness of the Lord's destiny for them. May their teachers be blessed with strength and creativity in order to produce young people who grow physically, emotionally, socially, and spiritually. And finally, I bless these suburbs with the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. In every place, may the kingdom come and the Lord's will be done. May the life of God fill this area. May many come to know the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Make it so, Lord. Make it so. Remain standing. I think the team are going to come and lead us in a closing song.